Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We remember exactly what Job kept saying over and over about all of his troubles. He said, I want an explanation. Then he said, I want vindication. I'm a good person. I'm not a lowlife. I want an explanation for my illness, all my troubles, and I want vindication. I want to be verified. I want the truth to be known. God says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Silence.
The truth is, God's always with you, even if you can't hear him. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. During times of real suffering, Job called out for answers and received none. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young shares his message, The Lessons Learned by Job, to show you how you can trust in God's presence even when it seems like he's silent. That's coming up, so stay tuned. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, the pain you experience in life doesn't have to hold you captive. God has designed you to walk in the freedom that comes with knowing he cares for you and will provide for your every need. That's the message at the heart of Dr. Young's five-message series, Overcoming Pain in Your Life. This powerful series will help you identify the roots of your pain and overcome them through God's power. We'll send you a copy of Overcoming Pain in Your Life as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional, even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, A Search for the Meaning of Suffering, Part 2.
Job 42:10. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Verse 16. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons and four generations. And Job died an old man, passionate and thrilled about his life. Let's prepare for the teaching of the word. Father, we know your eye is on the sparrow, and may we never forget your eye is on each and every one of us. We pray that what you see will be thrilling and will be appropriate and will be your children living as best we can in the middle of your will. Forgive us when we stumbled. Forgive us when we've been selfish. Forgive us when we haven't paid attention. Lord, you speak now, and let me get out of the way so that thy word alone might be heard. Is our prayer made always through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Most of us remember and still read, perhaps, in books, the cartoon Peanuts. You remember Linus, who always had the blanket. And you remember Lucy, who was always in charge and always knew everything. Am I tracking? Everybody with me? One little cartoon, they were looking out the window, and it was pouring down rains, cats and dogs, a storm. And it kept raining and raining and raining, and there was Linus and Lucy looking out the window. And Linus says, if it keeps raining like this, it's going to flood the whole area. And then thinking, he said, what if it keeps raining like this, the whole world is going to be flooded. And Lucy says, no way. God says in Genesis 9, 7 through 17, that he will never destroy the world again by a flood. Linus says, whew, that sure makes me feel a whole lot better. Lucy responds, sound theology has a way of doing that. And it does. Sound theology has a way of helping you and me to feel better. Now, we have had 37 chapters in Job of terrible theology. Terrible theology, with the exception of the first 2.5 chapters. Terrible theology. The idea, if anybody suffers, if anybody gets sick, if anybody falls into hard times, it's because of sin. It can be, but not necessarily so. But they were dogmatic about this in what was being said, because here was a fine, moral, good, brilliant, outstanding man, the greatest man of the East, who saw everything in his life break into many, many pieces. He lost it all. You can't think of one thing in a human way that Job had left until finally, when his wealth was gone, his health was gone, his family were dead, and now all of those who followed him and believed in him made fun of him, and children would walk by in his sickness as he was covered with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and they were saying, yeah. You can't get any lower than that. Terminally ill, three friends come to comfort him, and they get in a long theological haggle about why you are suffering. And their thesis was simple. It's because, Job, you are a phony. You are a hypocrite. You're not a good man. You're an evil man. Well, look what's happened to you, Job. How can you explain all this? You have to be a bad, bad dude. We've never known anybody who had all of this trouble. And Job just maintained all the way through that that's not the case. And he kept asking to have a conference with God. He asked for a mediator. He asked for an arbitrator. He asked for a judge. And he kept complaining to God and answering his friends. And his friend says, we are speaking for God. Now notice they never prayed and talked to God, but they said, we're just speaking for God. Every word they said in their eyes was ex cathedra, authoritative, the word of God. And now we come to the end of Job, and it is the most thrilling thing that you can imagine. And we remember exactly what Job kept saying over and over about his sickness, about all of his troubles. He kept saying, I want an explanation. Why? He said, I want an explanation. He kept asking for that, did he not? Then he said, I want vindication. Man, everybody thinks I'm a lowlife. And Job says, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I'm not a lowlife. I want an explanation for my illness, all my troubles, and I want vindication. I want to be verified. I want the truth to be known. And he kept crying out to God. Now, in all of this, where is God? Job looked everywhere for him. No God. And now, suddenly, Job's experience, his doctrine, his theology, what he thought about God, did not match his faith. And all of a sudden, I believe this, but what I'm experiencing is this. It's the very opposite. You ever had that problem? I believe this, but boy, my life indicates that this is true. So then we have to ask the question, where is God? And we have to understand two things. We have to see, first of all, what God did not do. And then we'll see what God did in this situation. Because finally, everybody's exhausted. Everybody's exhausted. The 31st chapter of Job spends a lot of words extolling his own integrity. And he was a man of integrity. He said, I've been faithful to my wife and faithful to my kids. I've been generous to the poor. I've helped the orphans. And he has a record of charity and good works and benevolence and honesty. And he extols his integrity all the way through the 31st chapter. Now, he has been bombarded by everybody, remember? But he said, I'm a man of integrity. Let me tell you something about integrity. If you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. Did you get that? It went, pew. It's important. If you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. You got it? Job was a man of integrity. Then you have Elihu comes. We've had Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, his three friends, and they've got in a knockdown, drag-out brawl there in arguments, and theology, and philosophy, and view of life. All three of the guys were wrong. And now we have a young guy comes in. We won't deal with him by name of Elihu. And he says, I'm young, and all these old fogies don't know what they're talking about. Let me tell you, this is what God is doing. Bang! And he speaks with authority as well. He does the best job of all of them. But he's inadequate in what he said, and his pride just negates everything he was trying to explain to Job. By the way, that'll do that. You know, somebody who's so egotistical in trying to teach us, they teach down to us. And regardless of how eloquent they might be, we never really quite tune into it. I've been to church services like that where I'm just blasted. Bam, 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 bam. Condemned and roll over the fires of hell every single week. Bam, 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 bam. And we're being preached down to. People that talk down to us. By the way, you notice I never say, very rarely, you. I do at the end of my sermons, you. But all the way through, it's always, we're in this thing together, folks. It's you and me and all of us. It's our. I never feel exclusive of this. I know I'm under this just like everybody else here is under this. And I pray to God I never forget that one thing. Now, it's important that we see where we are. We see what God does not do in this situation with Job demanding an audience, demanding a judge. What does God not do? You know what he doesn't do? He never becomes an answer man. God's not an answer man. He is never the object. He's always the subject. God is never on trial. You see, Job thought he was putting God on trial. God, look at all this injustice that's happened in my life. But we know the reverse was happening. It was Job who was on trial, not God. And God always reverses things. God is not someone who waits to give us answers. Study the life of Jesus, and I will say, if you understand it fully, never once did Jesus answer a question directly he was asked. Now, there's a couple of times you can make a case that perhaps he did. But generally speaking, never did Jesus answer a question that he was asked, and he was asked zillions of questions. You can't find an example of that. He would always take the one who was testing him, always the one who was trying to reveal him, and he would reverse the situation. Notice, Jesus, here's a coin. Are we to give taxes to Caesar? Well, he was caught. If he said no taxes, the Romans would get in. He said pay taxes, the Jews said he's not loyal to Israel. How'd he answer that? They put him on, test him, bring him down. He said, whose picture's on that coin? Caesar. He said, well, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's and give to God that which is God's. You see, they weren't giving to God that which was God, which was the tithe, and they weren't giving to Caesar that which was Caesar's, which was the tax. And he flipped it on them. He did it every single time he was questioned. Here's a woman, she's caught in the act of adultery. Man, the law says we are to pick up stones and we are to stone her. Jesus said, well, maybe that's what we should do because the law teaches that whoever is without sin, pick up the first stone and let's just kill her right here on the spot. Nobody picked up any stones. See, they put him on the spot. He always reversed it. Jesus, who is my neighbor, really? I mean, who really is my neighbor? Isn't it just my fellow Israelite, my sister Israelite? Jesus said, well, let's just check on that. And he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan everybody hated in Israel. It turns out the Good Samaritan was a good Samaritan. Amazing. He enlarged the whole concept of who your neighbor is and who your neighbor is not. You see, this is what God always does. We never entrap him. We never confuse him. And so we have to see what God does not do. He doesn't answer a single question that Job had about his suffering. Not a single question is answered. You can't find it in the Bible. Didn't answer a single question. But let's see what God did do in this situation. Because finally, God shows up. I want you to look at it. It's in chapter number 38. Now, it's as like God is saying, hey, Job, where were you when the world was created? Job, did you create the world? You see, now Job is being so pompous. He's demanding an audience with God. He wants God to be the judge. Now, by the way, the case has already been decided between the devil and God. Remember that? Job stood strong, but he's still suffering. And that deal was closed when Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth, and though he slay me, I will trust in him. No cursing of God because of his suffering, because of his tough times. That was over with. See, that was done. That was settled. God won. No doubt about it. His man stood tall. But he's still suffering. And Job is still whining and still complaining and still challenging God. And then it's like God says to Job in this passage, he said, Job, hey, Job, look. Were you there when I created the world? Maybe I didn't see you. You could have been there. You know, or Job, did you yourself create the world? And so God shows up. Look at it. It says, then the Lord, verse 38. By the way, the word Lord there is very important. It's not the word Elohim. Elohim is the pedestrian name for the Lord. It means powerful. God is called Elohim. He is powerful. He is God. He is the one. He is powerful. But that's not the word that's used here in the Hebrew. It's Yahweh. You are Yahweh, not the Lord, Elohim, pedestrian word, general word for God. You are Yahweh. That's the first time it's been used. Now, this is a personal name for God. It is later on a covenant name for God with Abraham, with Moses. It means we enter into a personal relationship. See, very important there. He says, Lord, Yahweh. And then look at it. Answered, by the way, the word answered there is important. Before, when God was speaking with Satan, he used the word as God is superior, and he's speaking down to Satan, who is an inferior. But the word here, answered, used with Job, the Lord spoke, answered Job. It is a word of one friend speaking to another friend. Very different word, two different words in Hebrew. Very interesting. Look at the next word. The Lord, Yahweh, answered Job out of the whirlwind. A whirlwind. whirlwind. How fast, how powerful is a hurricane? I discovered that in a hurricane, every 2 or 3 minutes, enough power is given off that is the equivalent of a 10 megatron nuclear bomb. Every few minutes in every hurricane, 10 megaton nuclear bomb in a hurricane. And so now in the middle of a hurricane, hadn't Job had enough? I mean, what else could happen? Now he's in the middle of a hurricane, a whirlwind. And in the middle of that whirlwind, God does an absolutely astounding thing. Now remember the problem Job has. Why does bad things happen to good people, particularly me? See, that's his problem, right? He wants explanation. He wants vindication. And now he's in the middle of a hurricane. But in the middle of that hurricane, you know what God does? God takes him on a tour. He takes him through creation. He takes him through the solar system. He takes him on a zoological expedition. He takes him through the World Zoo. Now, is this about as unexpected as anything you would ever have understood? Here's Job upset about his surfing and stuff time, and God sends a hurricane if he didn't have enough problems, and he takes him on a tour. But what a tour it is. Look at it. God says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? In other words, who is this ignorant dude that's talking to me? Paraphrase. He says to Job, now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. In other words, Job, pull your pants up. And I'm going to ask you some things, and you answer me. God speaking.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. He'll tell you where to go. He'll direct your path. He'll put you in the center of His will. Listen, one of the essential dials on any aircraft instrument panel is the attitude indicator, which lets the pilot know the true orientation of the plane relative to the horizon. Pilots will tell you it is to be trusted above all your senses of up and down or right or left. Listen, if you lose visibility or become disoriented in flight, just look at that attitude indicator. It'll keep you on the right path. Our passage of Scripture today is God's attitude indicator. Whenever we lose sight or find it difficult to fly level with God, these verses remind us to trust Him and not lean on your own instinct or understanding. How do we do that? By surrendering our hearts, our minds, our choices to Him. If we do that, He promises to level us out, to make our paths straight. And when we get where we're going, we'll be exactly where God wants us to be.
We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we want to help you walk daily in the assurance that the Creator of the universe cares deeply for you by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Pain in Your Life. The truth is, you're going to have painful moments in life, but you can rise above them when you trust God to meet your needs. Dr. Young's 5-message series will help you live confident that God cares for you no matter what you're facing today. It will encourage you personally and serve as a tool for you to minister to those around you who are hurting. We're excited to send you a copy of Overcoming Pain in Your Life as thanks for your gift to help keep the winning walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255, or text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us here today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young wraps up his message, The Lessons Learned by Job, and shares proven truth from God's Word to help you trust that God loves you and He knows what He's doing.